The Wayland Baptist women's basketball program was avant-garde before there was either avant or guard. The Flying Queens, dating back to the late 1940s, were the first college program to offer women athletic scholarships, the first to fly to their away games, and the first to 131 straight victories. Hello, everyone. This is Greg Stewart. Welcome to Sports and Commentary today. And thank you for your support of Western Wisconsin's Inspirational Broadcaster Incorporated. Those contributions help to sponsor the show. And you can learn more at WWIB.com. The Wayland Baptist program from 1948 through 1982 was chosen to go into the Naismith Hall of Fame this year. And current Flying Queens head coach Alicia Robertson Ellis is back with me from Plainview, Texas. So J.W. Marshall, Alicia, was the president of Wayland Baptist in 1947. He was kind of a missionary salesman wrapped into one, lots of big ideas. And so he was the main or kind of the conduit for the promotion of the Flying Queens. And this is before the NCAA, so there were really no restrictions. You could promote, you could give gifts to the players. You could pretty much do whatever you wanted to bring a crowd in, right?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, that just tells you kind of how things have changed. And, you know, the kind of history that they have and the standards that they set with that AAU program that they were in is just unbelievable. But it's really nice to be able to be a part of the NAIA now and be a part of that group and now, you know, make history there.
Yeah, that's what you are now, NAIA, and a very successful program still there in Plainview. So you know some of the players from those historic 50s and 60s. What stories have they told you about the early days of Flying Queens basketball?
Yes, they were, you know, the whole, they played half court. There was an offensive end, and then the, some of them played defense. And so it was a half court game to a lot of them. And so that concept, I'm still trying to understand that part because I've asked film, and I've asked a lot of them to see if they had any film on it, and I haven't had much success on that. So it's kind of hard for my brain to wrap around playing the game like that, but I feel like there's a lot of books about it, and it's just really interesting to see how they did that. I necessarily, as a player, I loved offense, and I had to really work on defense for the way that they played. Back in the day, man, I think I would have loved it. But they also, I'm going to tell you, they were involved with a lot of tricks, like the Harlem Globetrotters, and they were involved with those guys. And they did tricks in their warm-up. And so we would have kickoffs. In the layup lines, they would do kickoffs. I remember this as a little girl going and watching their warm-ups, and it was entertaining because they would all have their own tricks. Cookie, I think, would stand on her head and dribble the ball at the same time. They had people spinning the balls on their finger. It was a lot like the Globetrotters did in what they do now. And so that's kind of how this whole thing started. When I first took the job, they asked me if I was going to bring the tricks back, and I had to tell them no, just because it's hard enough to get them to block out these days, and so that's our trick for now. But they were good enough to have those kind of warm-ups where they were entertaining the crowd and doing things like that, and I think that's the most interesting part of some of the stuff that they did back in those days, is they made it entertaining for everybody. And so it's neat to hear stories like that and some of the things that they did back in the day.
Yeah, and back in the day, the rules are a lot different. Back in the 50s, it was 6-on-6 basketball. Like you said, you were restricted. I think only one player, a couple of players or something like that, could go into the offensive court. Everybody else had to stand behind the timeline. Very unique stuff. And the story is so compelling. It would make a great movie.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, we get a lot of people that are wanting to write books about them and some people from New York that come in and ask Harley some things. And you know, Harley, the coach, is still living, and he is still a huge supporter of the Flying Queens, and he's a great mentor to me.
Yeah, Harley Redden was the coach, and in fact, I think he was a pilot of one of the planes. When you went on these trips, he, I believe, was a former Marine pilot or something like that. So the success of the Flying Queens also became, I guess, the impetus for other schools to organize. They saw what the Flying Queens could do with women's basketball, and they started sponsoring teams, and eventually Wayland was outspent and outclassed by other schools, right?
Right. And, you know, there are tournaments that I was able to see. We hosted a thing called the Queens Classic. And growing up, that's what my family and I did around Thanksgiving. They always had it on Thanksgiving Day and that weekend. And that's what we did as a family. We went to watch those things. And it's really interesting if you look at the history of that tournament. There are tournaments where Baylor and Tennessee and huge NCAA teams were coming. Texas Tech and A&E came. But there were big NCAA teams that were coming to those teams, and they would just get whipped by Wayland.
Wow. Hey, and you went to Texas Tech, so you played at that level too. All right, Alicia Robertson-Ellis, my guest, the head coach of the Flying Queens, a program that went into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. And let's get together again next time, Alicia. I want to find out how you connect the past with your current players and these historic players from the 50s and 60s. So thanks for coming by again today. God bless you. We'll talk soon, all right?
Sounds good. Thank you.